We are 2 weeks away from our men's retreat for this year, and I want to say a couple things about the men's retreat. And just for a moment, if I could have the men who are planning to go this year, if you're planning to go or think you most likely will go, would you just stand for just a minute? And I want us to have a prayer together. On the men's retreat, you know, we do go to get away. We do go and have a great fellowship. But really, the primary reason to go is to sharpen each other. And we take that time as men to go become better men. We want to be men of God. We want to be better husbands and better fathers, better leaders in this congregation, in our own circles. And so it is a great weekend. It's an important weekend, just like the ladies' retreat accomplishes so much. And so I want to remind the men that we still have time. We have more space available. We can have more go, and we'd like to have more go. And I know we have some that aren't here this morning that are planning to go. But if you would, let's take just a moment. Men, remain standing, and let's have a prayer for our upcoming men's retreat. If you'd bow with me. God, we just want to pray that you would bless our plans and efforts for the time away at our men's retreat. We pray for each man that is planning to go, and those that more would be able to go. But for that time that we're there, we pray you do bless us greatly, that you would help us to sharpen each other, help us to know each other better, help us to grow and become better men, men that you want us to be and men that we want to be. And we pray it'd be a blessing to this congregation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Today, we're going to tackle the myth of, I know God wants me to be happy. Last couple weeks, we started out with, God will not give me more than I can handle. That's a common myth. It comes from, in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 10, where Scripture says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But God doesn't say that about struggles or burdens. In fact, we know Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. The fact is, God tells us to cast our cares on Him, because life will become more than we can handle. That's why we need God. And then last week, the Bible says you're not supposed to judge. We know that comes from Matthew 7:5 or chapter 7, verse 1. But if you notice in verse 5, Jesus said, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The Bible says not to judge hypocritically. Jesus, in fact, John 7:24 said, judge with right judgment. And so that, we know, is a myth. And today we'll tackle, I know God wants me to be happy. And next week, everything happens for a reason, week 4. We'll get into that next week. What would it take to make you happy? That question was asked in a poll. And those who had an income of $50,000 and those who had an income of $100,000, would you believe they had the same answer, what it would take to make them happy? Double. The one who earned $50,000 felt like, the amount of money that I'd be kind of content and satisfied with and happy, just another $50,000. But the one who had $100,000, they didn't say another $50,000, they said another $100,000. Double. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? What if you had the wealth of Bill Gates, said to be worth over $87 billion? What if you had the wealth of Bill Gates? Would you be happy? What if you had the success of Oprah Winfrey? Very successful. What if you had the intelligence of Stephen Hawking? Would you be happy? What if you had all three of those? We have an entire book of the Bible written by Solomon. An entire book of the Bible written about a man pursuing happiness. And I don't think that's an accident. I think there's a reason. I think it is a common human experience that we each like to be happy. We like the feeling of being happy. And we want to pursue that. Remember, Solomon had great wealth. Remember, he had wealth beyond imagination. He had great power, being the king. In fact, Ecclesiastes 8:3 says, regarding the king, Ecclesiastes 8:3 says, he does whatever he pleases. I want to take a poll of young people, especially teenagers. I want to take a poll and see a show of hands. Who looks forward to the day where you're out of the house and no longer have your parents telling you everything to do? Who looks forward to that day? Teenagers. Some of you are not being honest. We don't like being told what to do. How'd you like to be king where the king does what he pleases? Solomon had that. He had international respect. He had foreign leaders coming just to sit and listen to him. He had discerning wisdom. But was he happy? That's the irony. How could a man have all that and not be happy? He sought happiness in education. He pursued happiness in pleasure. He pursued it in wisdom. And he pursued it in work. And he did not find it in those. But we're not that much different, right? Isn't it a common experience or feeling? How many of you can relate to the idea that, well, I think just a little bit further in my life, I'm going to be happy? I mean, I'm growing up, but I'd like to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, that special person in my life, and when that happens, I think, boy, that will really fill what's missing in my life. We might think when I graduate high school and I get out from under mom and dad's thumb. We might think when I finish my education and no longer have to go to class, I can actually go and work and get paid instead of going to class and pay them. Maybe we think, I long for a husband or wife to share my life with. And when that comes, then I'll be happy. Or children. Or a home. You know, when we get our own home, won't that be great? Or when I get a better job. Or when we get some projects finished. Or when we retire. Right? When we retire and have time and we can travel and see the grandkids and enjoy life more. Phyllis Dodson is 2 weeks from retirement. Isn't that exciting? 2 weeks. Ashley Hollowell. If you don't know this, you need to pray for her. Ashley works a full-time job, is going to grad school to get a master's in counseling, is doing an internship right now, which is a huge workload on top of classwork, on top of job, and she has a newborn. And she's figured out how to fit all that into her schedule, but she cannot find any time to sleep. I mean, there's only 24 hours in a day. And I know what she's thinking. She has to be thinking, when I get to that finish line, then I can be happy. I want you to know that Scripture teaches us God wants me happy now. Okay? But it's His definition of happiness, and we'll get to that. But we have that same thing Solomon had, which was, happiness is in my future, but I don't quite have it now. And we're always longing and reaching for something. Where did Solomon not look for happiness? Until the end. He gave the right answer at the end, but he did not look at his walk with God. Solomon did not pursue his relationship with God to find happiness. And in the end, Ecclesiastes 12:13, all has been heard. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's Solomon's conclusion. Flip to Psalm 32:11. Here's a good verse about happiness. Psalm 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy. Now, there's three words there for happiness and joy. And I want you to know, in Scripture, there's really not a difference between how Scripture uses the word happy and how the Scripture uses the word joy. They're used interchangeably. There's not a Greek word that says, kind of this superficial happiness that people want. If everything around me good, then I'm happy. No, there's not a word for that, and there's not a different word for this deep joy that you can have even in suffering. So Scripture uses the words kind of interchangeably. Here we have three of them: gladness, rejoice, and joy. But it's in the Lord, right? Be glad where? In the Lord. Solomon wasn't trying to be glad in the Lord. He was trying to be glad in all kinds of other things. Does God want me to be happy? If I define happiness as no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no struggle, no sadness, if that's how I define happiness, that comes in heaven. Right? Revelation 21:4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That happiness, if you want to call it that, that's heaven. It's not here. Jesus didn't have this here on earth, did he? Pain, sorrow, suffering. And so that is not for this life, that is for the next life. But let's look at joy. And I'll use the words joy, happiness interchangeably also. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:8 and kind of see what the Bible says about our own joyfulness, happiness. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. God wants you to have that. God wants me to have joy that I can't even put into words. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is a giver. God wants us to have joy, gladness, happiness, right? Remember, God is a giver. How does the Bible start? In the beginning, God what? Created. Who did he create it for? Us. You ever had someone make you a gift and then give it to you? Isn't that what Genesis 1:1 is? It'll blow your mind if you think about it. What all God created. Who did he create it for? Us. God is a giver. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. He wants to give to us. In the Bible, the word joy is mentioned about 300 times. The word happy is mentioned 29 times. All 29 equate happiness with obeying God in some way. The Bible doesn't talk about happiness and disobeying God together. Okay? Now that's Satan's area. Temptation, let me put it this way. Sin is fun. Right? But that's not the happiness that God is drawing us to, because that fun ends in sorrow and suffering and death. Amen. And God loves us too much for that. So here's a great one. Psalm 1:1, the very first psalm. If you open your Bible in the middle, just part it right down the middle, you should be in Psalms. If not, you're real close. But most Bibles will part in the middle and you're in Psalms. Psalm 1:1, blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. There are Hebrew words translated blessed that mean that have the meaning of God blessing you, of a meaning of receiving God's favor. Okay, that type of being blessed. That's not this word. This word is happy, joy, glad. And one scholar paraphrased this phrase, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. He paraphrased it, oh, the happiness that man experiences when we, what? Walk with God. Not in the counsel of the wicked. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, when we walk with God and live holy. All right, 1 Peter 3:10 says, 1 Peter 3:10 talks about this, and this was our scripture reading. This common feeling that all of us have as humans. We desire to love life. We desire to love life. It says, whoever desires, and this is a quote from Psalm 34. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. And so you see happiness or joyfulness connected to living holy. Be happy, turn away from evil. at my house in the mornings, after I take Abby to school, I come home and Sydney's getting ready. And the last thing I do when I leave the house in the morning is I take her to school. So I'm ready, waiting on her to get ready and to leave. And periodically she'll ask me something. She'll say, Dad, will you put the dog up? Because that's the very last thing we have to do before we walk out. Will you put the dog up? And I say, no, I will not put the dog up. Why won't you put the dog up? I say, because A, I didn't want this dog to begin with. B, it's your dog, that's your job. And it is. Sometimes she'll be fixing her lunch. Dad, will you get an ice pack out of the freezer for me? And she's running close on time. It's her, like, getting her to school, we're there on her time when she wants to be there. That's when we leave. I'm ready. I'm the chauffeur. Anyway, she'll say, hey, you know, will you give me an ice pack out of the freezer? No. Why not? Because this child sleeps in to the very last minute and has calculated her time of when to leave the house and get the most sleep possible. But she miscalculates. And it's her own fault. Sometimes we're not happy, and it's our own fault. Sometimes we're not happy, and it's because we're not living in holiness. We're not choosing to walk with God. We're trying to do things our own way. We're stepping out into sinfulness. And that's why we're not happy. But don't think that God doesn't want you to have joy and happiness. He does, but He wants you to have it in Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Here's a great passage. It has this, the shortest verse in the Bible is, Jesus wept. Come on, we can quote Scripture. You've got to be able to quote that one. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Look at what is surrounding this verse that says rejoice always. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. That's turn the other cheek. That's someone does you wrong and you don't do wrong back. But always seek to do good to one another, to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. When people treat you wrong and you can't treat them wrong back, how do you feel? Frustrated. When you want to do wrong, but you have to abstain because of your walk with God, sometimes we might be, you know, tend to feel frustrated. I can't, you know, I'd like to do this, but I can't. So in that, we're still rejoicing. The next time someone does you wrong, remember God wants you to be happy. Rejoice. And there is a way to rejoice in times of struggle, even when people are treating us wrongly. That's God's desire. Do you want your children to be happy? You want your children to be happy? We don't give our children everything they want. We did a project at my house recently, Steph's project actually. We had this crepe myrtle that grows like crazy. I can't get things I want to grow, and I got this crazy bush that won't quit growing. And she's cutting the branches off of it, and we have to bag it up because, anyway, that's a whole other story. But there, we use child labor, so the kids are helping. They don't want to help. How much longer do we have to do this? They're not happy. They want to quit. What do we let them do? Not quit. We let them keep working.
Amen.
Right? I want my children to be happy. But it's their choice to be happy in the midst of times when they're doing something they don't want to do. And our walk with God means we're going to do some things we don't want to do. We're going to want to choke somebody out sometimes, but we don't. And God says, I still want you happy, even when you're not doing what you want to do. We're to be happy in God's holiness. John 17:13. Happy, we can find happiness in struggle. This is having joy, and Jesus is praying this. He prays that his disciples would have joy, and he knows that the world hates them. Can you have joy when you're being hated? Absolutely. Romans 5:3. I'm going to go quickly through these last ones. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. So, if I define happiness as everything around me is good, then no, that's not the happiness God has planned for us. Because we will suffer. But God wants us to be able to rejoice even in our sufferings. Remember James 1, count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, I can have joy. I can have happiness even when I'm suffering, even when I'm struggling. And one final verse, and this I think helps us understand how that's possible. And it's this. Jesus is speaking. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. How can I be happy when I'm suffering? You can have peace. How can I have peace in the middle of a storm? And the answer is, trust God. You can trust God and you can pray. And we have people here who've done it. I know some of them, this resonates with you. If you have ever found peace in the middle of a great trial or struggle, raise your hand just for a minute. Now look around. Look around. If you need someone to talk to one of these people. Right? God can grant us that, and He wants to. Does God want us to be happy? Yes. But His definition of happiness, that we can find even in our darkest times, even in tribulation, God wants us to find happiness. We're going to close with a song. I know the Lord will find a way. And this is a great song and a great thought for a time when I may feel like, well, I'm just not happy. God will find a way. If I turn to Him, Solomon had wisdom of discernment, but he was not wise enough to look for God, to look for happiness in God first. And so this morning you may have something on your heart you want us to lift up to God and pray for you. There may be one here this morning that you're not ready to meet Christ. You're not ready to meet God in judgment. And we'd love to help you, help someone become a Christian this morning. Whatever you need, please come while we stand and sing.
I know the Lord will find a way.